Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
And we've got a guest with us today.
Hey, I'm Craig from Torchlight Brewing in Nelson, BC. How's it going, guys?
It's great. I'm doing really good, actually. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's shitty being back in Canada where the weather isn't that nice. Last week was much nicer.
Oh, Mike.
Oahu. Keep loading.
Yeah. Oahu was 28 degrees.
I bet.
God. No need to. I didn't get COVID.
Yet.
True. I tested both ways.
Give it 5 days.
Yeah, oh, my.
Oh, well. All right. So let's talk about Torchlight. You're in now. What's the address if we want to come and visit?
Yeah, for sure. Torchlight Brewing. We're at 125 Hall Street in Nelson, right on the main street, right through town.
Cool.
Yeah. We opened in 20.
Go ahead.
We opened in 2014 at a smaller location, and a few years ago moved down the street to the brewery right now.
I've been to both locations.
I haven't been to either yet, damn it.
And I was at the grand opening party too of the second location.
Nice.
Nice.
So yeah, if I'm at the Lord Nelson Hotel, how far is it?
It is 2 blocks down the hill.
Perfect.
So if you're at Lord Nelson, you come down the steep hill that's right in front of the Lord Nelson, and you are right in front of Torchlight.
Right, I only know a couple of landmarks in town. That's one of them.
I'm more of the Nelson City Campground.
I know where Nelson Brewing is, and of course I know where that other pub is.
Yep, just straight down the hill.
Yeah,
from there.
Perfect,
and just awesome. Down the street from the campground too.
Yeah, I know. It's a wonderful place because most cities, you know, if you want to get a place to stay, it's going to be a couple $100 these days, it seems. Ugh. Or you can stay camping in the city.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's what I've done every time I visited there.
So when did you first open the initial location?
We opened in the spring of 2014. When was it? June was actually when we first sold beer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which seems like a long time ago now.
In
BC craft beer terms, it's an eternity ago.
Yeah. And it was a very different operation at that time compared to what it is now.
Oh, yeah. The first brewery we had, we did on a shoestring budget. I mean, really a shoestring budget. It was tiny. Like, absolutely tiny. Just a little hole in the wall place. We just had a 3-hectoliter system. So making 6 to 7 kegs of beer at a time was all we could do.
That's a lot of work.
Hand permitting everything.
Weren't you moving like fermenters around and stuff? Like,
yeah,
all you using like plastic carb or whatever they were called, PET or whatever back then.
Yeah, yeah, they're plastic fermenter, conical fermenters, and we made them pallet jackable. So we would we had a cool like 2 different rooms we would put them in. So there was like the main brewing room, and then we would pick it up with the pallet jack, slide it into this temperature controlled room that was the right temperature for fermentation. And then when it was done in there, we would pick the whole thing up and slide it into our tiny little walk-in cooler if there was room.
Wow.
Yeah. Fill the kegs flat and then hand carbonate them. So I cook them up with CO2 and then shake each keg.
So you're talking like totally homebrewing on a large scale.
Yeah. Big homebrewing. Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know too many homebrewers with a pallet jack or something, but
other than that. Carbonating a full keg, a 55 liter, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it was a neat location. It was, you know, it felt like almost like a living room in the tasting room. It was cool, but it was tiny.
So bigger than Daggerad's first?
Sorry?
Was it bigger than Daggerad's first tasting room?
I never made to Daggerad's first tasting room.
Yeah, but Daggerad's tasting room was like you could reach from the window to the bar.
It was tiny.
Yeah. But their brewery was still much bigger than yours at that time, right?
Yes.
Oh, so, man.
I do want to drink a beer, and yeah. I know there's a good story behind this one. So why don't we get into the first beer of the night, and you tell us a bit about this, Craig?
For sure. So we'll try the beer first. Well, I'll introduce the beer. We can sip it, and then I'll tell the whole story behind it all. So this beer we're going to try is called, currently, Putin is a Dick. It's a Vienna lager that we made a few months ago. Yeah, just a nice, simple, easy Vienna lager. Some malty notes, not much hoppiness to it. You know, you get that caramelly sweetness that's kind of typical of the style, but not overpoweringly so.
It smells nice.
It's got a gorgeous color.
Yeah, this nice, like, amber kind of color. It's a little color to it.
You know, so the base malt for this is actually, we use a whole Vienna malt, base malt pretty much, with a couple bags of Pilsner just for balance. And then there's a little bit of, it's been a while since I forget exactly. I think it's a little bit of Karamunic in there just to add a little bit of that sweetness.
It smells lovely.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
A little bit fruity, grainy.
Yeah. And you get those caramel flavors in there. Just hints of dried fruit.
So this beer, we made it really just because Jay, the other brewer at Torchlight, and I just wanted to drink it for ourselves. Like, this is the beer we felt like this spring, or like in the wind, in the kind of, you know, kind of moving through the winter. We're like, this is what I want. So we made this beer as just a keg only beer and called it just Vienna Lager. Like, no cans, nothing. But it was a pretty good scale batch. So we had quite a bit of it in kegs, and we didn't have enough kegs at the time. So we ended up canning, 12 flats of it.
Nice.
Just to finish off the batch, right? In these blank cans, which you guys have.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed it. I had some on tap at home, burned through that. And then the war in Ukraine started. And if you can use eyes of have you heard of Pravda Brewing?
Yep. Pravda is right? Beer Theater or something, isn't
it? Pravda Beer Theater, it's a pretty cool place. They put this call out on social media, and we kind of like were talking about what to do about, like, could we do anything to help people, maybe raise money for something. And I'd seen the news article of this brewery in Ukraine, Pravda, taking their beer bottles and turning them to Molotov cocktails.
Like, right.
I know. I fucking loved that.
I saw it. It's rad.
And they make this beer called Putin Huilo. And my pronunciation on that's probably off, but it basically translates roughly to Putin is a dickhead. But in an angrier, meaner way in Ukraine. Right? I'm like, well, that's hilarious. We should do something like that. And then, Mike, you shared the brew for Ukraine.beer.
Yeah.
The same day, we had, like, an hour later, I saw that after we had a conversation with the brewery, but what if we did something like that? This exact project, and bang, there it was. Mike shared it. I'm like, we're on this. So I emailed the guy right away. Get involved in this, and it's this like nascent sort of movement happening, because Pravda had reached out to this guy Vern, who has worked with them from Canada, to help coordinate different people in North America and around the world to pull this whole brew for Ukraine.beer thing together to raise money to support refugee relief in Ukraine. So we jumped on board right away, and we kind of were one of the first ones out, along with Lakefront in I think it's Wisconsin. They responsible for the bulk of the cool label.
Okay.
And like, we were one of the first ones out with something because we had this Vienna lager. So we ripped, like, just erased the board on the name, wrote Putin is a Dick on it. And from Friday to Monday, I had labels printed up with a local printing company, and our great graphic designer, Will Taylor, just adjusted the label to fit with what we wanted. And we had these cans ready to go. So we put them out, and they were gone in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow.
That's great.
And we've been had people calling us ever since. We put it on social media, and then it went, like, not viral, but like, it was some of our best performing social media posts ever. We got a lot of interest, a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
Did a couple radio interviews. I'm on a beer podcast talking about it. It got a lot of attention.
Awesome.
That's awesome. That's what you want, right? Especially for a good cause like that, you want to make sure it gets out there and blast. And even if it sells out your beer quickly, hopefully people will be looking for another brewery that's doing it, right?
Exactly, right. That's exactly what happened. And I just had a neat story with this a couple hours ago, right before I left work. A truck showed up dropping off empty cans for us. And the truck driver was like, hey, you guys made that Putin is a Dick beer, right? Yeah, we did. Like, I found one on my doorstep.
Oh, wow.
So someone had bought, and we sold, like, a couple people came in and bought quite a few of them. So I think someone came in and shared them out amongst their neighborhood or something. This guy just came home one day and there's this Putin's dick can on his doorstep.
Like, that here never you go. Here's his present.
Nice.
So the word really was spread. Like, that's someone who just went and, you know, gave us money for the beer to donate and then is spreading the word to get more attention on the subject.
Sounds like maybe they weren't a beer drinker, but they wanted to be part of the cause.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a couple Russian grandmas who came in. we have a good size immigrant population here from Russia, the Duke of Boris, who came over like a long time ago,
right,
fleeing Russia and the oppression in the Russian Empire.
Yeah, they like parading around naked and doing all kinds of weird stuff.
That's the one. And they're lovely, nice people who live around here. And it was a couple grandmas who came in just right pissed about Putin and were happy to be able to like buy this beer and give him the middle finger.
Awesome.
That's it was awesome. Great.
Perfect.
I love a good old like angry granny when it comes to stuff like that.
Not putting up with shit.
Don't fuck with grandmas.
No.
Not the Russian ones.
Yeah, especially not the Russian ones.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is really enjoyable.
It's got a nice malty with a little bit of sweetness, you know, sort of that caramely toffee thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly what I'm picking up on.
Super it almost crushable. Seems to, like, from the toffee, almost seems to go a little bit on into the fruit notes to me in the sweetness. But yeah, it's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a yellow fizzy fan, but this isn't a yellow fizzy lager. This has got flavor. It's got lots going on.
Yeah.
Mike, I used to be against lagers, like really against lagers. And then I figured out a couple of brewing tricks for them, and I'm like, screw it, let's try one.
Yeah.
And I'm back on lagers now. Not big on lagers. I'm not a lager fan. I'm not going to make a ton of different lagers. But you can make interesting ones. It is possible.
Oh, yeah.
I've always loved, like, Box and stuff. There's black, dark lagers, you know, that kind of thing are great. Just yellow fizzies, I'm not a big fan of, never have been.
Yeah. We've had the odd one on here that you actually enjoyed.
And then some of the ones that were collaborations with Four Winds were fantastic.
Four Winds collab was well done, Box said.
Yeah, those were awesome.
Overall,
the first one around
was
excellent.
A good Pilsner can be a really good beer, but there's actually a lot of flavor in a real Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's some hoppiness. There's actually a malt character despite the lightness. Yeah.
Not old style.
Not old style. And
when it's done properly and everything's balanced, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, balance is the key. That's one of my important brewing philosophies is balance. Absolutely. Pursue balance.
Unless you're making a double IPA.
Yeah.
Well, but the balance is important. You need to balance the flavors, but also sometimes the balance you're seeking for is an imbalance.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you Jedi want shit.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
It's like when I homebrew, I aim for that balance of high alcohol, high flavor.
Yeah.
And that is a balance.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, that is a balance for sure.
One more, well, about a week and a half to find out if I did a good job with my new recipe on my Russian Imperial Stout. We'll see. Or Ukrainian Imperial Stout. I renamed
That's
it.
That's right. Renamed it. So, you guys ready for the next beer? Or do you want to...
I'm pretty close, yeah. Why don't you tell us a bit about the new tasting room capacity, and do you guys do a food program or anything?
Yeah, for sure. We do have a food program. We have a full-size lounge, 60 seats inside, and then we're just waiting for final approvals for our new exterior patio, which is going to seat another 54 people.
Nice. Because you always had a bit of a patio anyways, didn't you?
Yeah, we do have a patio right now, but this one's a lot bigger, and so it's more outside in the parking lot and gives some more sun and things.
Nice.
Yeah, we have a mostly full-scale kitchen. It's compact for a commercial kitchen, but we do a full-scale food program. Burgers, tater tot poutine, nachos, wings, that kind of thing. Yeah, classic.
Yeah, food's been really good when I've been there, for sure.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there the most for this podcast.
Always happy to have an excuse to bring you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got 20 taps, not always full of beer, but we try lots of different things and have a bunch of our beers, the occasional guest tap. We have some ciders on tap. We have a new seltzer thing we just developed, Prisma. We have that on tap now.
Nice.
It's an in-house seltzer?
Yeah, it's an in-house brewed seltzer. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Interesting.
It's neat.
A brewed seltzer.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's so we make it like a beer, but it's not actually beer.
Yep. Yeah. So the way they make them in the beer. States, right?
It's exactly the way they make them in the States. It's technically beer, but it doesn't taste like beer at all.
Yeah. So in the States they brew them, and usually it's from like grain and stuff. Whereas in Canada they just buy some neutral grain spirits and add some flavor and water to it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all to do with like the rules licensing of the different brewing things and licensing and stuff. And they changed them recently to sort of allow some room for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
are you guys still doing Are you guys still doing the soda program?
We are. Yeah, we're still doing the soda program. So a couple of taps, usually we're making our own sodas.
Really?
Kind of random stuff we come up with, different things. We've done a whole bunch of different things. Right now there's like a weird sort of root beer cola inspired thing on there with a bunch of strange stuff in it.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I had when I was there for your grand opening. It's been years now, but there was some really cool, I think they were almost sort of cocktail inspired sodas when I was there.
Yeah, I forgot we had them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We play with a bunch of different stuff since then, and we like to, cocktail inspired is a good
version. Virgin cocktails.
Basically, that's
good idea.
But sodas.
Mocktail.
Also, just add booze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, we have a full bar. So if you want some gin with that, it's no problem.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Now we're talking.
Today, actually, we just did our first live music event tonight.
Oh,
back after the pandemic. First one in a couple of years. So it's exciting.
Cool.
That is local music then? Or?
Yeah, local music. This older gentleman, Greg Walker, was in playing piano and singing tonight.
Nice.
Like an old school. Old time rocker dude is pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a piano in there, or do you just bring like a keyboard or something?
He's bringing keyboard in. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Well, why don't we crack the next beer?
Which one do we decide on?
Let's do Mountain King next.
I figured as much.
Yeah. And I missed that one. I forgot to bring one home. I grabbed the wrong thing. So, nope, not that one. It's the other golden colored can. Oh. So I'm just going to drink more of the Putin's a dick for now, but I'll catch up.
That works.
He is a big dick, so yeah.
Sure is.
The Mountain King Golden Stout.
Yeah, woo-hoo. So this is, Mike liked this one, I think. This is a bit of a different beer. It's a style that's been around for a while, but we don't see very often.
They're not frequent, but they most often they have some kind of coffee or chocolate or something in them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this, we use coffee and cocoa nibs to bring out the roasted flavors that you get in a stout. And so we use the grain bill of a stout minus the roasted barley or roasted malt. And then we add in during the brewing process and the fermentation process, the coffee and the cocoa nibs
to bring in those roasted flavors.
Yeah.
Number Six Coffee Company. They local?
They're super local. They're actually in our old brewery.
Oh.
Oh, wow. So
our old tiny little brewery got taken over by this coffee company. And they did a beautiful renovation on it. It's way nicer in there now than it was when we had it. Way nicer.
Do they have a couch?
They have a couch, but they have a nice couch.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, the photograph in the label here is it's a mountain. Do we know which mountain that is?
I forget, but we do know. I just can't remember. I have to It's a local one. Yeah, it's by Wild Air Photography, who is like local pilot and photographer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's mountain. Cool. It's local mountains. And then Will Taylor, our graphic designer, did it all up for us to
be
a cool label.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, we wanted to reference like some... The name comes from us being in the mountains, but also... the Edvard Grieg piece, Mountain King, Hall of the Mountain King, and then there's a Savatage old school metal tune. That's really rad.
What about King Crimson, Hall of the Mountain King?
Oh, okay. That's going back.
I'm gonna have to look that up right now. Okay.
I have no idea what the hell that is.
Music, Jordan.
Yeah.
I get that part, but that just warns old and I don't know.
Prog rock, right?
Yes, prog rock. Yes, good stuff.
So
it's definitely got a golden color, white head.
Yeah. It's very light in color. And it's got a big coffee aroma coming off it.
Yeah.
Oh, smells like coffee beans.
It does smell like coffee beans, but it's almost got like a dark cacao smell coming off it too.
Yeah, but yeah, it's so coffee up front.
The other element we use is we get organic cocoa beans from a local supplier, not locally grown, obviously, but local supplier. And then we roast them before we add them to the beer as well. Nice. So that helps.
I love the mouthfeel on this.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like it's not like overly thick and creamy and heavy like maybe some stouts can be. It's got a nice medium mouthfeel. It's damn good.
Yeah, but then that coffee hits you and then a little bit of the chocolatey thing going on in the background.
I get the chocolate right after it mixes. It's nice to re-roast it in with the actual coffee flavor for me.
Yeah, it's a nice balance. The coffee's not overpowering. It's just sitting at a nice level.
Which was what we wanted. We weren't trying to create a coffee beer, right? Because you can make a beer with coffee in it that tastes like coffee.
Yeah.
And that's tasty. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not where we're going with this. We wanted to do something that kind of blends the different flavors together so that you almost have a hard time telling where the coffee ends, the chocolate begins, and then where the chocolate ends and the rest of the beer begins. It should all kind of blend together.
Yeah. Did you do a guesstimation on the amount of caffeine?
We actually had to have it tested because of
you actually tested it.
Yeah, the LDB requirements. If you list that coffee is an ingredient in a beer,
yeah, I know some guys who just guesstimate and they guesstimate on the high side.
Yeah, well, they like really pushed me to get a lab test for it, which is kind of funny.
Bloody hell!
So we did have it tested, and it's super low. Like there's caffeine, but I forget the amount, but it's really low,
like way lower than a cup of coffee.
Oh, way lower than a cup of coffee. Yeah, like barely any.
Perfect.
Like a sip of coffee, so not much at all.
Well, that's perfect because I'm caffeine doesn't agree with me, so but I like the flavors, so that's fantastic.
So what you're saying is I should crush up some caffeine pills and then it'll be on on par with what I expect.
That's right. Yeah, mix those in and it'll hit you.
Yeah. Oh,
God. You heard it here first.
Yeah. A true breakfast beer.
Oh, yeah. A jittery beer if you do that. Jesus.
Nice creamy head on this. Like the bubbles in the head are just so tiny and it's leaving some decent lacing.
Yeah, that comes from treating the grain bill like a stout. So there's some oats, some unmalted barley in there, and that helps to contribute to that.
Got some proteins.
Yeah, those proteins and you know the body of the beer. Because if you think about like, there's such a range of different styles of stout. But if you like want to kind of just like think about stout in general, you know Guinness comes to mind, and then also into some of the other heavier ones. And well, we're gonna taste one a little bit later. You want a fair amount of body, but not necessarily crazy body. Like a dry Irish stout doesn't have a ton of body.
Right, which is my preference for stout.
Mine as well, usually. But it also don't want to have so little body that it's like a, you know, yellow and fizzy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yeah,
so this one...
If it's too thin, then it'll be more like a dark lager kind of body, right?
Exactly. So this one, we're kind of firing right at that sweet spot for the stout. Gravity wise, that's. I feel like it worked.
It did. This is quite nice.
I'm trying to warm my up a little bit because mine's a little bit too cold, and I'm getting more of that chocolate flavor as I warm it up.
Yes. We didn't mention this, but it is 5.4%,
which is a nice sweet spot for a beer you can drink a bunch of.
Yep. Yeah, and this is easily drinkable. That's for sure.
So. When we're talking about music and songs for this, Jade from the brewery, he has a band called Heir to Ruin. And they have a song called Ballad of the Mountain King.
Okay.
Is like an epic black metal song. But it's actually written because they all love this beer. And the other guitar player, Mike, was drinking a lot of this beer when he wrote the song.
I can relate with that.
That's awesome.
I was in a band for a few years, and I wrote an amazingly high number of songs about beer.
Weird, Warren.
Hey, go figure, right?
Yeah.
We're shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, write what you know.
So since we're speaking of music and whatnot, with your you're saying you got live music coming in. Is it all going to be like local artists, like weekly kind of thing, or what's your guys' plan in the future for it?
That's the current plan, is sort of weekly or semi-weekly local artists. We're going to expand that a little bit as we move along. We have had like full on, you know, like metal rock bands in the brewery, and it works, but it's a really small space for it.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, don't you have a big show coming up or just happened recently with a Vancouver punk band or something?
In Nelson?
No.
No, us? No, we haven't.
Okay. No, not recently. There's a brewery. I was looking through DOA's tour plans last night, and there was a brewery.
Oh, probably Firehall Brewing.
I don't know if it was
Fire Oliver, because they're friends.
Was that right? Oh, okay. Yeah, there was some brewery out on the way out there, on the way on to Alberta.
Well, some of the guys in DOA are actually from Nelson, so they should
bug yeah, them. Patty and Mike.
Right? Yeah. Patty and Mike.
I was actually sitting at the Circle bar at Backroads Brewing, and I was just chatting with this guy, and he's like, wait a minute, that's the guy from DOA.
So, yeah.
Well, Patty owns the t-shirt place in town, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's where he gets all our merchandise and t-shirts.
Yeah, he does all the silk screening. Yeah, NBC gets all their stuff from him too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah. I've been watching him play in bands for years and years and years. Right. Those two guys were Wagons and Circle the Wagons, BCDC, which
BCDC
always put on a fantastic show.
Yeah, Mike in his cow outfit.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, hey, if you're having a metal night up there, I might have to come and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We will definitely be doing that for sure. Well, we're probably going to end up with a brewery band eventually.
Awesome.
We're working on I'll tell you guys about this, it's a kind of a secret at the moment, but we're working on writing a Torchlight jingle.
Really?
Like a 15 or 30 second like radio ad commercial kind of jingle commercial, but we're gonna do it in a few different music styles.
That sounds like fun.
And maybe a lot of different music styles.
Well, there is a podcast that does air ads if you're ever interested in getting it out there.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that. Absolutely.
I'd love to see a power metal and a black metal version.
What about the thrash metal version? Come on.
Yeah, like we said, all the music styles. We're going to do thrash metal, doom metal, black metal, power metal.
And then just do one on the ukulele.
Hair metal.
Yeah, right. I do have ukulele. We could totally do that. Although I'm excited to try and do like a terrible modern, like auto-tuned pop version. Just to see if I can get through it. Because I don't know if I can put my soul in a box long enough to get that done.
Yeah. Just try to sound like Steel Panther in one version.
Right?
Oh yeah, no, that's no problem. That's no problem at all.
As long as it's coming from a sarcastic point of view, it's all good.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna get different staff on there because like Jade and I recorded like the first little demo track of like the first version of the backing track, kind of get the riff and the idea down of the first one. But like we have some talented people there, like Josh, who's the other owner, he can just rip on vocals. Like he does at karaoke, does like the Darkness songs and like hits all the high notes.
Nice.
It's crazy.
Oh yeah. Man. I'd love to see him do that.
Oh man, it's awesome. It's real good.
See, and this is what we want to know about Torchlight.
Yeah.
No other podcast is going to tell you this kind of stuff.
That's true.
Well, I think we've talked about it way back in the past, but what's your capacity in the brewery these days?
60. Oh, you mean like vessels, like liters?
Yeah. We have a
Back of house.
Our new one has a 20-hack brew house, so like way bigger than the one we had before. So good size, not huge. Mm-hmm. Kind of the sweet spot for what we want to do.
We just brought some new
tanks in. Yeah, we got a bunch of fermenters. We have
doubles.
We have three doubles and three singles.
Yeah, okay.
And then some bright tanks and our own canning line and everything. So
yeah, it's a good size.
Pretty good beer.
It's a good size because it's flexible. You know, like 2,000 liters is pretty big, but it's not like crazy big, right?
That's exactly right. So the downside is I can't do really weird shit just for growler fills or something or on tap, but I can do something bizarre that makes no sense just once a year just for fun.
Yeah.
Like we're doing this pastry stout beer but it's not really a stout. It's okay. This one's fun. It's a blueberry pancakes with whipped cream and maple syrup.
Stout. Oh yeah.
Because it's not actually a stout.
That sounds busy.
That's awesome. Oh, dude, that sounds delicious. So that's my kind of shit.
Maple blueberry.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one we're having fun with.
Well, I can't wait to see the color.
Yeah. It's like, all the stuff hasn't been, well, I will see what it turns out like. So before we add the blueberries, it was the color of the cooked part of the pancake.
Perfect. Okay.
Right, so like well-cooked pancake, there's the brownish golden part. That's where it hit. So it was just right. Nice. So we'll see what turns out with when it's done.
It'll be interesting too. The pH balance will change it from blue to gray.
Yeah, you gotta watch that.
Hey, it might happen. That's okay.
Just adjust the pH balance and boom, you're good.
It's fine.
Throw a little Philly sour in there, co-pitch it, and no problem.
Right? Hey, experiments is what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly.
We like having fun with things.
Yeah. Have you got anything weird on the go right now currently?
Today we just brewed a fuzzy peach sour, which isn't that weird these days, but it should be pretty good.
That sounds delish.
You actually use candy in it or
real peaches?
No, we didn't. I can't bring myself to put in totally fake flavors.
Oh man.
I did use some actual citric acid though to give it a little bit of to accentuate the sourness, to give it a little bit of that tartness. We'll adjust it maybe with some more later. We use real peaches, but we're going to use a lot of Sabro hops, and Sabro hops just taste like fuzzy peaches.
They got that
they do.
Fruit flavor, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to add a fuck ton of that.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
You going to can some of that?
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Have to watch out for that.
Yeah, so that's the thing is we have a big enough brew house that we basically have to can part of most batches we make. But we don't have to can a lot of it, and it doesn't have to be a widely distributed beer, right? We can just slap a label on it and throw it out there and see how it goes for some of those fun things.
Even just sell them out of the tap room, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys, how far does your distribution go with can-wise when you are sending it? Do you think it ever makes it down like Vancouver way area? Or
it has before. We have it for a while just because COVID kind of shut us down. We were focusing on building our business more in the interior. We're doing some deliveries down to Victoria this week. Ooh. Because we're going for Victoria Beer Week, leaving tomorrow morning. So we're going to have some beer in Victoria. And then down the lower mainland, in some targeted spots, we're going to try and bring that to
Legacy and Brewery Creek kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I work downtown. Jacks. I can find it for all of us guys.
Yeah, hopefully. Exactly. Well, and any store recommendations you guys have, let us know. Let me know. Because then we'll... Jax?
Dr. Randy at Jax.
In Maple Ridge, there's a good one called Ridgeway. Liquor. Yeah, they do single cans of every brewery, and you go make your own four packs. It's right in the middle of Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge, kind of.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty good liquor store. And it's close to you, Jordan.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Yeah, well, it's close to me. That's the only reason I said it, Mike.
Of course.
I want it all. I want it all for myself.
Completely selfish reasons.
Many selfish reasons.
Selfish reasons are good reasons.
That is good reasons. So hopefully we can get some beer down there soon because I want to, because we do all our own distribution. So I want to make infrequent trips down there. So kind of plan a big trip with a bunch of stuff, drive down, hit some good spots, the key spots, make it worth it. And then, do that a few times a year.
Are you guys going to be attending the Festival this year now that it's going on? Still trying to figure out if I'm going to be going or not this year, but always a big fan of the festival.
It's always a fun one.
Yeah, it is. And, doing a sort of late spring festival outside in the Okanagan is going to be fun Russian roulette.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the past, anytime I went, the weather was usually really good.
Yeah, but it's been indoors.
You're right, and it was indoors, but I remember spending a lot of time out on the smoking patio there because it was sunny.
Yes.
So the first couple of years we went to the festival, we got put outside because they did have a small outside area attached, and we loved it. It was great. People were out there. It was sunny. It was beautiful. Had a great time. And then the third year, we want to be outside. We love being outside. And it absolutely poured.
And windstorm, wasn't it?
Oh, it was cold. It was windy. It was
Yeah.
That was earlier, though. That's when they had it in April. This one's in May, so
I think that was the same year that I got hit with some bad snow up on the Coquihalla Summit and the Okanagan Connector. And it was just like, oh shit. Cause it was snow with black ice underneath. And it's just like, oh, this is fun as I slide all the way down the hill. The best I can do is just keep it at about 60 and sliding.
Yeah. Good old interior winters. That's fun in here. Oh, yeah. Well, you never know what you're going to get.
I've driven on snow in the Okanagan Connector in July. So you never know.
I have too. I almost died in my Camaro way back when I was going to university. Terrifying.
Yeah, they're not good in the snow at all.
No, it was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Well, should we crack into the next beer, gentlemen?
Yes, let's do it. Next beer? Okay, we can do that one. Yeah, we'll do that.
No, 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 you pick.
You pick.
I was going to do IPAs and then come back to the 1880.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do Hazy Train next.
All right.
Choo-choo.
Going off the rails on a hazy train.
That's exactly why it's named that.
I like the label. It's got this like 8-bit font and everything, and you know the digital kind of font for the hazy IPA. It reminds me a lot of like 1980s video games.
Use that kind of stuff quite a bit. That like
very interesting. I was going to read the description, but all it is a bunch of crossed out words. And
that's the awesome flavor.
Awesome.
That's the awesome flavor one. That's the next beer.
That's hilarious.
Is that the right one? No, you think that's the wrong one, Warren?
That's the wrong one.
Oh,
that's the one after. Yeah, you want this beer.
Oh, the IPA, just the regular IPA. Sorry.
That's a hazy IPA too.
Okay.
They're both
hazy. I'm not going to lie, I did the same thing Warren did, and I'm not blind.
Okay, so correction, hazy train.
All right,
and this label looks like two trains going head on into each other.
Sure does.
That is a cool label. I like it. 5.4%, so it's a little on the lower side for a hazy IPA.
Yeah, this is the mellow hazy IPA. Wow, nice. Mellow alcohol, little. Yeah, and this guy's hazy.
Super murky.
Super
That's
murky.
A cool label. I like that.
Super
a lot.
Murky.
Yeah. Super murky, orange, white head.
Hazy. So is there some wheat in here and all that kind of stuff?
There's wheat, oats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wheat, oats. And then we do some mid-ferment dry hops. And we use we use this special hazy yeast from Escarpment Labs in Ontario.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which one's this one called? I forget what this one's called, but it's like meant to be super hazy.
Doesn't flocculate well.
It doesn't flocculate at all. And just what it does in the beer itself causes a lot of haze. Because in the haze, you know, there's a lot of hot polyphenols and other converted things in there that we're getting that you really add to that.
Oh, this smells amazing.
For citrusy nose. I stuck it in there. I was just like, holy shit. It's just like orange juice.
Yeah. Very juicy. Very citrusy. Holy moly.
Yeah. A little bit of stone fruit.
Yeah, I'm just gonna. I got like straight punched in the nose by citrus right away. I mean, there is stone fruit in there, but wow, great nose.
Wow, it's ripe.
On the flavor, it's like peach and orange juice.
Yeah, I'm getting a little more of the stone fruit in the flavor.
Yeah.
And it's not overpowering. You're not getting that hop burn at the back of your throat or anything like that.
I always like to avoid that in IPAs, in IPAs in particular, because it can really creep in there. And you got to be careful because, you know, as you're chasing all those big hop flavors, you can get that hop burn to come with it. And it's a balancing act to avoid it.
That's no fun. Yeah. I know some people like it, but I'm not a fan. Yeah.
Well, I don't think anyone really likes the hop burn, but it's always that fight to get a huge punch of flavor. And it's so easy to hit over that line.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you put even a little bit too much in, then it gets there and it's too late. Yeah. And your temperatures are a little off or whatever. You know, you gotta ride that line.
It's amazing how hazy this is without being like thick, without being like, you know, like gritty or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just gonna look up what yeast that is. It's escaping me at the moment, but just hold on. Mm. It's it's really, we like to do different hazy beers, obviously.
Yeah, and I love hazy beers. And I, you know what, in the last little bit, other than another Beer Co. in, I guess they're New West, and a little bit of Superflux, I haven't been as happy with the hazy beers these days locally, and this one really hits the sweet spot for me.
Yeah, it's not overdone. It's got some balance to it. It's drinkable, right? Yeah. It's enjoyable.
But there's not a ton of bitterness, which people are doing hazies with a ton of bitterness that don't really make sense to me. There's no hop burn. It's got lots of fruit flavor. It's really well balanced. It's not overly sweet.
It still fits really well with a little bitterness.
The only
sweetness I'm getting from is from like the sweetness of the citrus. There's nothing residual like it.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like there's lactose added or anything like that, right?
Not at all. Not even close. Mm-hmm. And the color's on point too. It's like you said, you can't.
Oh, he just froze up.
Can't see through. Orangey color.
Yeah, it looks like orange juice almost, right?
Yeah. I drink this for breakfast.
Although, if your orange juice has this much fizz, you might not want to drink it. But
you might. That just means,
it's got alcohol. Like,
yeah, right. But you never know what else is going on.
I'll say if it's fizzy orange juice, drinking a mimosa.
I think that's the mark of a good hazy, right? That's kind of what you were going for with the hazy IPA. Is you want something that's
juicy,
like so juicy that it is a juice? Is this beer
right?
Yeah,
right. Like it almost masquerades as a different beverage.
I agree, yeah. And I've just totally. It's been hard to chase that recently. I find, and breweries that used to do a ton of them, like Twin Sails, used to go there and it'd be like half hazy.
Yeah,
they're a lot of sours now and stuff. They're not doing as much anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Coast Mountain's still doing them.
Coast Mountain is, but it's hard to get them here. So it's one of those things. It's almost like it's a trend that's kind of going away locally, and I hate it.
Thank God.
When they're done right, they're fucking awesome.
You know what? The hazy beer trend, the hazy IPA trend is something a lot of people have been looking for to be a trend, and looking for it to be something that doesn't continue, and like, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
And people have been looking for what the next thing is for, what is it, like 7 years now? 6 years? And there's other beers, but hazies are here for to stay. Yeah, it's like West Coast IPAs are here to stay.
Well, like, they're coming back. There's a big resurgence. For
150 years.
Yeah.
Breweries need to make them well or just leave them alone, because there's a lot of breweries that are just making kind of crappy facsimiles.
Yeah.
Luckily, this is not jumping
on the bandwagon, right?
Thank you.
Not really into it.
Why? We had a visitor on screen for those who are listening.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not really a hazy fan, but this is plenty drinkable. And if I keep my eyes closed, I wouldn't even know.
Get you one of those aluminum glasses.
Right? I'd be perfectly happy drinking this out of the can, and so I can't see it.
Yeah. I used to always laugh when I was listening to the defunct show now, Indie Beer Show out of San Diego. And Brian would always, back in the day, pour his hazies into a metal cup because he loved the flavor, but he hated the look.
There's this old school thing that people like, beer should be clear.
Yes. I spent 20 years trying to make beer that was nice and clear. And now all of a sudden, everybody's making this cloudy crap.
Oh, as a brewer, it's great. It just relieves so much pressure on some beers.
Yeah.
But of course, now we like certain beers have to be hazy and certain beers must be clear. So we have like very different priorities about what we're doing. We just filtered our lager last week, and I swore off filters forever. But then for a couple beers, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And this thing came out so crisp and so clear and so clean that it's worth it.
Yeah. Nice.
For some beers.
Yeah. And I mean, you can get some pretty damn clear ones depending on the yeast you use and how long you wait. I've seen some like super clear, like not true lagers made with Kvik yeast and stuff.
Yeah. Like,
bizarrely, Kvik for hazy IPA can keep the haze in there, and then for lagers can just drop. So.
Yeah. I didn't have it ready to send you guys, but the one we packaged today is a hazy IPA, Kvik hazy IPA called Viking Starship. That's delicious. Ooh. So, well, I'll send that to you guys next time. But it wasn't ready in time for this one.
That pancake one too. You can send that. I'll bring that.
Sure thing.
Oh man. Nice. Or just make sure it comes to a store down here and tell us where.
There you go. That's even better.
Yeah, well, that works too.
But We want to get some beer down
remember,
there.
Remember, Ridgeway.
Ridgeway. I'll send you an email later to remind me.
Yeah. Sounds good, buddy.
Yeah. It's more.
So, who did the artwork on this can? Is it your regular guy?
So, Will Taylor's our graphic designer who did the design of the can, did the coloration, the shading. His friend Bones did the actual artwork. So, we use a few different artists, but primarily Bones has done a bunch of ours to do like the line work artwork. And then Will takes it, does the coloration, and turns it into the actual label format for us.
You see the hidden skulls, Jordan?
Yeah, no, that's why I'm asking. I really like it. It's rad.
I see four so far.
Are we counting?
Are there four? Yes,
maybe five if you count the front there where it looks like teeth and everything.
You know, I don't even know this. I've never.
there's one right there.
Yeah,
I got four for sure.
There's one right there, and that's mirrored on the other side.
Yeah. And there's two right there.
And there's one right here.
Yeah, that's mirrored on the other side too. Is there more? There's got to be more.
And then I'm thinking the front here has it almost like teeth. It almost looks like a mouth here.
Well, there's a secret one somewhere. It's a mirrored image.
Yeah. Well, it's not perfectly mirrored.
And there's two bells. It comes in front, and the front is the front of the train, Warren. God, man, learn art.
If you look at the gauges here, the arrows aren't the same on both sides. It's slightly different. It's not perfectly mirrored.
Yeah, well, it's not mirrored. It's drawn to be the both sides of the train, but it's all hand-drawn, right?
Very cool.
No, it's great art.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Founder Hope, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
So I look at the Eve for this.
In general, you guys' art looks great.
Oh, thanks, Mike. We try to have fun art and have cool labels because really the first thing that sells beer is really the label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're standing there looking at the shelf, it's the label that's going to jump out at you. And if it's standing out from the sea of beers there, you're going to pick it up and at least take a look at it. Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Well,
there's been some horrible rebranding of lately of breweries out here. And I mean, I look at them now and I'm like, what happened? Like it used to, it could have been the ownership changing and stuff, but some of these labels that are so visually bland and like before they popped and stuff. And it's like, what are you guys doing? Do you not realize that like people look for this stuff? Like, oh, look at, there's a pastel color with a name on it now. And when you used to have rad artwork, it's like, it makes no sense. Money wise, I guess if you're doing that bad, but Jesus.
Well, see, I pick my beer out by the style and by the brewery and that kind of thing, right? But I bet you there's a ton of beer drinkers out there who pick out their beer the same way I pick out wine, which is by looking at the label. And if I see a picture of something cool that I like an octopus or something, I'm like, oh, that's got to be, that's the one I'll grab, right?
So anybody that wants to sell warm beer, put an octopus on your label. No.
That won't work with beer. It only works with wine. I don't buy wine that often.
But of course, you know the breweries that you like, and you know breweries that are good.
Yes, and I know what styles I like, right?
Yeah, and so for people who don't know what styles they like and want to try different things, or particularly, and this is the most important one for us brewers and breweries putting things out, is people who don't know what brewery they like.
Right.
Yeah.
They need something to grab their attention, or people who aren't familiar with the brewery. So as a new brewery, so for us, like people around here, and the interior know us very well, but down the coast, not as much, especially you know, you serious beer guys will, but the casual beer drinker, far less likely, unless they've happened to come down here for vacation or whatever. So if we can have a good label to grab their attention, that really makes a big difference.
I mean, honestly, I'd say over half of people who purchase beer on a regular basis probably buy the same brand every single time. And it's probably not even a craft beer. It's probably a macro, right? Or,
well, there's a lot of people too that do the online stuff, right? Like the social media, and they grab a can because it looks cool for the photo they're going to take.
Right.
I mean, I do my Instagram, and it's sometimes I'll grab a cool ass can just because it's like, okay,
because it'll match.
I know this brewery very well, but why not give it a whirl? Most of the time it works out. Sometimes it's shit. Like there's been a few breweries that have like super super cool labels and put all the time into it. and the beer's just not had the same effort as the label.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, I'm glad Torchlight's not one of them. So
right,
well,
thank you. I think every part of it should have as much effort.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, don't have a lazy label, or if you're going to have a there's nothing wrong with a simple label though, like the pastel color with the word on it. That's fine if it makes a statement design wise. It's all about what are you trying to say,
right?
And are you putting forward something that's what you want it to be?
Yeah.
So for our pancake beer I was talking about, the label is, it's just like a pale blue sort of like color, but the front of it is just a wall of text. So like in the front where you see it when you do it here, like this whole section is just the name, but it's that whole long ridiculous name I told you all smashed into this like block of text.
That's awesome.
So and that in itself is kind of eye-catching. You're like, whoa, what is that?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's the idea.
What is wrong with these people?
A lot. A lot is wrong, Mike. A lot.
Well, you're on our podcast. We know something's a bit wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ah, boy. All right.
So speaking of cool labels and label attention, when we're going back to the Putin beer for a second,
that
Putin beer, the Putin is a dick beer, got so much attention. And then we decided that we wanted to do more because it sold out so fast.
Yeah.
So Pravda put their recipes for their beer out for other breweries to use to make beer to sell. And we decided that we wanted to do something more with that. So we got the other breweries in the area together. So Nelson Brewing Company, Backroads Brewing Company, Tail Out, Angry Hen all came down to Torchlight. Oh, nice. And we brewed Putin Huilo, which is the dry hop golden ale.
Awesome.
From that. So that's going to be coming out the end of next week.
Oh, nice.
We're doing two different cans. So we got a bunch of sponsors to help us. So some suppliers helped kick in things to make it even better, and other breweries. So we're going to have it on tap at all the different breweries. We're going to have cans for sale. We're hoping to actually be able to launch our online store in time to have those cans available to send out.
Heck.
And we're doing
a version. I got a funny feeling if you release those cans online for sale, they might do well.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't mind buying some of those myself. Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
And so then we can just take all that money we raise for that and send it off to help people who need it. And we've done two different can versions too. We did the Putin's a Dick label, a variant of that for this. And then we used Pravda's version, which if you haven't seen it, look it up. It's fucking hilarious.
Love that label.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's cool.
So we have a version of that.
Yeah. I also love the picture of that label on those bottles as Molotov cocktails.
I was going to say, imagine getting hit in the face by that Molotov cocktail. Just see that label coming at you and then you're on fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Putin's crotch coming at your face as it explodes.
Lord.
Oh, God.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, so you said that'll be out in a week or so?
It should be out the end of next week. So what's that? It's going to be April 15th. April 15th, we're hoping to have it out. Maybe the online store may or may not be up by then, but shortly afterwards.
Nice. So by the time people are listening to this, it should be available. So
go to their
website and see if you can get it.
That's right, torchlightbrewing.com. And there'll be a link on there.
Social media handles?
Torchlight Brewing for everything.
Yeah, no, it's just at Torchlight Brewing. I got you, bro. I got you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Actually, that's
the end of the show. Come on.
No, it's not.
Two more beers.
Too early. One of the things that I just noticed, too, I've been following Pravda Beer Theater quite closely in the war in Ukraine, the invasion in Ukraine quite closely. And Pravda actually recently signed a contract with a brewery in Belgium to start producing their beer to sell outside of the Ukraine and to help support the whole effort in the Ukraine. So there will be more of their actual beer sold around the world is the plan. So look out for Pravda because you might find their beers in local liquor stores, if not here, somewhere.
Yeah. And if you see it, buy it because it goes to great people who are doing good work.
Yeah. It's going to a lot of the
float and helping people.
Yeah, it's helping people that are fleeing the country. It's helping all kinds of stuff. It's really important.
They need more money for bottles.
we joined a We joined a live stream brew with that they did a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool because they talked the whole time, talked to different people, and you know, they had an air raid siren while they were brewing. And
oh, so no,
some of the people left, but a couple of them had to stay because they had to keep the beer going. Wow. And they're not allowed to sell beer in Ukraine right now because the war effort, although they've started to sell some low alcohol ones I saw.
Yeah, they're allowed to low alcohol. I saw that too. Yeah.
Which is nice. That's a good sign. But
yeah. Well, and they were they had a warehouse with a bunch of their beer in Kyiv, and they were looking to get a bunch of trucks there ASAP to pull the beer out and get it to the border and try to get it sold outside of the Ukraine.
Wow. Yeah. Priorities. I love it.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, got to get the beer out before it goes.
Doesn't somebody fail? Think of the children?
Well, not even that. It's they want to make sure it's consumed and the money goes towards you know, protecting people and
yeah,
such a big deal.
I know. I make light of situations that I shouldn't have.
That's how some people deal with the reality of this world we live in, Jordan. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, or we drink. Speaking of that,
that's ready for another
mechanism. Next time. All right. Next hazy.
My segues are getting pretty good, boys.
Getting there, yeah.
I'm sorry, Warren. I didn't know you didn't like hazy IPAs because I sent two.
No, oh, but it doesn't matter. Those guys love them. Love them. Yeah, yeah.
We thank you for that.
Yeah.
And so this is the one.
Everything is awesome.
This is the one that has the crazy yes. digital texts and looks like that's a video right. game.
Awesome flavor. Awesome flavor, awesome. Hazy IPA.
Now, does that mean it's not breathtaking, overwhelming, awe-inspiring, mind-blowing, et cetera, et cetera?
So we were the cross out thing that was we did a word association thing to come up with some name label like ideas for like marketing wise. Yeah. We had a number of these beers before.
Uh-huh.
We had a number of awesome flavors and it just seemed like a hilarious thing to do. Like, what is it? Is it this? No, we want to call this awesome flavor.
It's not fruity, it's not juicy, it's not it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How long has this one been? Have you guys been brewing this one? I feel like I've had this before.
You probably have. This is our first, well, not our first hazy, but like our biggest market hazy IPA.
How many years has it been out?
3 years?
Okay.
Maybe four. That. 4 years. Well, it's 4 years. COVID has taken my time frame and messed it up.
Yeah, no
welcome
kidding.
To the club.
Last 2 years.
Welcome to the club.
Right.
Yeah. Now, it was 2 years ago, but 2 years pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
So this is a little bit lighter in color than the other one, like quite a bit
lighter in color. So different yeast. We use the Escarpman Hydra for the hazy train, which gives it like even more haziness and less attenuation. So you get more body and different things. This is it's a bigger beer. Awesome flavor, 7%. So you get quite awesome when you drink it.
Okay. I'll have four.
Seven. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Right. And so we use a more conventional like English ale yeast, which.
Okay.
Isn't quite as hazy and gives a little different fermentation, so you don't get quite as much.
Get that fruitiness though, right?
You get the fruitiness, yeah.
It is hazy though; like you can't see through it if you, you try and put your hand on the other side. You ain't seeing it. Has a nice aroma.
This has some interesting flavors.
Hmm.
Again, though, the aroma is really, really fruity.
Yeah, I'm not getting as much citrus and stone fruit as the other one. But this one's more like almost like vinous or something, you know what I mean?
Different hop bill in this one as well.
It's also like a less sweet pineapple kind of flavor going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a bit more. There's like not stone fruit, but actual like peach, like a drier peach.
Or tropical, more like a papaya or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I like it.
You can't tell it's 7%. It tastes like a 5%.
Oh, yeah. I love these sneaky beers where it's got the booze, but you can't tell. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Man, they get you, though. This one is dangerous. Oh, I had it on tap at home a little while ago. It was hard work to get through the keg because you can only have, like... I mean, you can keep drinking them, but the consequences get dire.
Eventually, you can't walk there. So.
Yeah. I've been lucky so far with my homebrew, and I've had a couple sneaky beers. So I love it when it turns out.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm really liking about this one has a little more bitterness in the finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely.
It has bitterness to balance it, but it is not a West Coast IPA.
No.
This is what you want for bitterness in this style of beer. Balance, but not like pithy, piney. It's not big. It's not West Coast.
No. It's just a little bit more bitter than the hazy train.
Yeah, the hazy train's
not sweet.
All hazy, all fruit. Yeah. This one is a little more balanced. It's a little more of a, well, traditional hazy, I guess, is not really a term, but let's like it's a little more balanced, a little more like middle of the road with some of the flavor profiles. And you want that hint of bitterness. I mean, you need bitterness in any beer to combat some of the malty sweetness. Because even the like the lightest, simplest beer is going to be relatively sweet if you compare it to something else.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You don't want a malt liquor. Ugh.
No.
Hey, don't say shit about malt liquors.
Yeah, you go have fun, you Edward 40 hands 40. Or whatever it's called.
Oh, gross.
Fun. I just brewed one. That's what I did at Smuggler's Trail.
That's right, for your cask.
Yeah, so I have an old-fashioned style malt liquor coming out on April 24th on a Smuggler's Trail. And
but your doctor,
me and Thomas Batty there brewed up this bad boy. So I'm hoping we're going to do some additions of probably American oak to give a little smokiness to it. And then maybe jump in like a Mickey of some triple barrel-aged bourbon or something like that as well, just to give it a little something extra. But we used, Eclipse hops or something like that? I can't even remember right now. Too many beers, but.
Those are good.
Yeah, give it a little tangerine flavor.
Mm. There's a couple breweries making them. Camp Brewing has made.
Yeah, their malt liquor was good.
Malt liquor,
mine's going to win for me. Yeah, I think so. That's all I'm saying.
I think Strathcona did a malt liquor too, right?
Yeah, they did. They did it in 40s.
Yeah, they did that. They had it in that cool bottle too.
Wait, they actually put it in 40s?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's silly, but I respect that.
Hold on a little.
It's just like provincial spirits out here, too. There's a grapefruit gin and juice. And in a 40. It is in a 40.
You put that in a paper bag, you're good.
Well, they give you a paper bag because it's glass.
Right?
It's rad. And it's actually really good, too. So
and there's a park like a couple blocks away from there where you can drink it legally.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, although legally that kind of taints it, doesn't it? Isn't part of the fun the illegal part?
It takes the edge off.
I'm like, if you're going like old school NWA, then yeah, you can't be in a public park where you're allowed to drink more and you have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, so I prefer the legal ones. With you then.
Makes it although easier. Maybe,
yeah, it's easier. Also, I don't think in the spirit of that, craft beer and craft spirits isn't exactly...
Yeah.
OG, you know?
No, not OG at all.
How is Nelson kind of dealt with COVID? Have they had any legal drinking outside in parks or anything?
No, we haven't. But you know, Nelson's on the looser side regardless.
Yeah.
Some of the rules. Way more patios, which I think is across BC.
Yeah.
More patios. So like downtown Baker Street and Nelson was just like patios one side and the other.
Wow,
so it helped a lot, and it's been all right.
Well, hopefully, I think at some point here, the whole province needs to just loosen up. It's gone so well in Port Coquitlam, and Chilliwack's had them. North Van,
Vancouver,
City of Vancouver. I don't know if it's happened yet, but City of Vancouver will be selling alcohol at their food stands in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's just. Let's just get rid of this bullshit. You allow drinking in the park, drinking wherever. It's still illegal to be an asshole that's hammered. You know, it doesn't matter. It's all still got to be in moderation.
There's a law against being drunk in public, right?
Yeah.
There's already got to be a drunk asshole, like you said.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've done a couple of podcast episodes where we were in parks drinking legally.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Nobody was being an idiot. You know, we did see other people there. There was a family having wine with their dinner on a table next to us. There was a couple guys on mountain bikes that pulled up to another picnic table and they just had a can or two and then continued on their way. And
they appeared to be possibly houseless too, but they were super friendly. No, they did.
They were being respectful.
Houseless? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. They appeared to have all of their possessions on their bikes. And they saw what we were doing, and as soon as we stopped talking, they came over and asked us what we were doing and had a little chat. But it was great, you know. It's everyone was being respectful, no one was being out of hand. It's great.
There was a couple kids that were out of hand, man. Fucking ruined the podcast with their screaming.
Yeah, it was children in the water park.
Where was that? That was Castle Park or some shit. It was so loud. So many kids were like, oh, we picked the wrong
spot. It was a nice sunny day, though.
It wasn't the adults.
It was the kids being annoying. Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing was, too, it was grad week. So there was like grad kids coming to take photos in the park.
Yeah. We used to. We took guys photos
podcasting with four beer cans each.
Yeah.
But the government said we could. So thank you.
Yeah.
Hey. I think we're going to see a big improvement. We have seen a big improvement, and we're going to see lasting results in liquor laws in BC due to COVID. Yeah, things had to be relaxed. Things had to be made easier. Things had to be sped up.
Like getting beer with your takeout and all this kind of stuff.
Beer for takeout, patio, even patio applications and things like that had to get sped up. And I hope that allows things to move forward that way.
Yeah.
You're in a park. Why not have a beer in a park?
Yeah. Well, that's the other one. Penticton.
I've always done it. It's just nice knowing that I can do it in the open and not worry about getting a ticket.
One of the
it's
ones
like
that
legal
really,
weed.
Yeah. The one that really blew me away was Penticton. They allowed drinking at the beach.
Crazy.
Which is amazing. I would just that's so cool to be able to go down to the beautiful beach, only blocks away from a bunch of breweries.
Right.
And bring a couple cans and go at it, right?
Why not?
So civilized.
But that's civilized. But that's not really changing anything because, I mean, people have been going to Penticton and for Peach Fest for who knows how long and drinking in the open and just being idiots. So I think in a way this is going to reduce that and cut back on the idiocy, right?
Well, the what you will call Peach Fest has died down a lot and it's become a lot more friendly again. But then you have all the drug addicts that pick fruit that come down and like have actually ruined the beach area for the past couple years. I think they've got it under control again, but they were having meth parties in like, you know, where the beach is, the bathroom change rooms right there on the beach. Like literally the crackheads would shut it down and families, the cops had to come in and shit. Like no lie. Yeah. I don't know.
I know some of the migratory workers.
No, like the ones from Quebec that are like
the French Canadians that come to
it's so warm there. So anybody comes from colder places.
Well, and they get free camping and all that too, right?
Yeah. But they're getting a handle on it, I assume. There's a lot of good breweries up there too that you don't have to go to the beach. You can just go to the breweries and miss the meth heads.
If you bet.
Well, I'm almost ready for the next beer. Is this our last one of the night?
This is our last one.
Oh, we made it.
We did. We lost Mike.
I love the name on this.
Snakes Be Gone, 1880 Stout Porter. Friends Be Strong.
Now, the part I like is the Stout Porter. They're not categorizing it.
Well, we
are. Could be a stout, could be a porter. No, it's a stout porter.
It's a stout porter, which is actually technically a stout porter. So this beer really, truly isn't actually our beer. I mean, it's our, we made it. But it's actually from a Guinness recipe from 1880.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Really? Limited edition stout based on a Dublin recipe from 1880. Okay. Brewed with all malted grains, unlike most modern stouts. Okay.
So beer history time. So this is a stout porter. This is based on the recipe the Guinness used for their stout porter back in 1880, from an old brewing record.
That's cool.
And back then, there wasn't such a thing as a separate beer style called a stout.
Right. Porter was common back then, but that was a blend of old beer and new beer, right?
Well, it was like a dark style of beer, but it just meant darker beer, and they styles weren't quite so defined back then.
Right.
So they ended up making defining different beers by other adjectives. So a stout porter was just a strong porter.
Right.
It was darker, it was roastier because they used a bunch more grain to make it. And it was higher in alcohol. So that's really where the term stout came from. And eventually people just dropped porter from stout and you had stouts and porters.
Right.
And there's really very few differences between stouts and porters. It's more of a
well, a case of degree. A little heavier usually, right? It's a little darker, a little heavier, maybe a little more boozy, but they're very similar.
Very similar. Stouts usually are a little darker and porters a little bit lighter, but that's there's no line between them.
Right.
And this beer is kind of, there is no line between them. Often porters also use like roasted or like a black malt. So a malted grain, the extra malting process. Black patent, exactly. Or they'll, stouts will often use like a modern Guinness uses a roasted barley. So it's an unmalted grain roasted to give it the color. And in this one, it's all malted because back in 1880, in the British Empire, you had to make beer from all malt because the malt tax is where they got their tax revenue from. They got the malting stage.
There was some places that were cheating and using brown sugar and shit like this and lying and trying to evade taxes. And
exactly, which is, you know, that's common again today with a lot of beer styles.
Right.
But back then it was like, okay, all malt. So you must use malt. And then they taxed the grain that was malted. And that's where the tax was paid to the government. So it's all malted. So this is a pale malt. It's something called amber malt, which is a one of my favorite malts. Super delicious. Little bit of caramelly sweetness, but mostly it's just like this rich nutty flavor. It's fantastic. And then black patent malt.
Now the color on this is not black like some stouts. You can still see through it a little bit. You get those hints of that you know, reddish coming through there
if you hold it directly into the light. If you're standing normally, it looks very dark.
It's pretty dark. The head is a beautiful like tan head. It's thick and creamy and it's leaving a beautiful lacing. Like it's just
cool to look at. What I was gonna say about it. It's lacing really nice, and I didn't pour a full can because I gotta be a dad after this, but fucking, it is I've swirled it and it is sticking to quite nicely to the glass.
And the aroma is bang on. Oh my god, that's
chocolate and roasted malts.
So much roasty malt coming on to my nose, and then that chocolatiness and
all that's that amber malt that I was talking about that gives, like, so there's the black malt, black roasted malt on top, but there's this undertone of the amber malt which makes the roastiness rounder, more complex, and adds extra dimensions to it.
I really like this.
That is delicious.
Oh, you were talking, I mouthed wow like 12 times I think after my first sip.
Oh my god, that is good.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic, honestly. Like,
oh my god,
it's roasty. There's a little bit of chocolate and caramelly thing going on.
As a BJCP judge, I would call this a porter, just by the mouthfeel and the flavor and the appearance and that. But my god, that is a delicious example.
Well, you're in 1880 and you're not a judge right now, Warren.
Right? And I'm and I'm loving this beer.
But of course, if he's in 1880, it is a porter. It's a stout porter. Right, so it's a variant of a porter.
Right.
Right?
Whatever.
It is lovely.
Although what we would call now a robust porter, technically. Robust, yeah. I think is the category it would be in.
Yeah.
I think in 1880 it might be a little sour just because they weren't very good at dealing with
and that was part of it. I've
too many taxes.
I've read some historical texts that say that the historical porters, many cases they would use a blend of a fresh porter and an aged porter, and it would be like sort of a 50-50 mix. So you would get a little bit of that tart kind of thing in there, right?
Yes, you would. We didn't do that with this, although I was trying to this year because I had some from 2020. I kept in a barrel.
Oh,
nice.
And I was going to blend it back in. I wanted to blend it in. Yeah. I'd blend it into the whole batch or just make a couple kegs of a special blend. But
that's what Guinness does, right? Guinness takes a certain amount, sours it, and then mixes it back in. And that gives them that signature flavor.
That's right. 3%, I think, is what they say it is. So we were going to do that, but the barrel didn't really turn out as well as I would
have that thought. Hint of a little bit of sour sharpness in there would give it a little tiny bit better flavor, but I mean it's already so close to being awesome. Damn.
Yeah, I could drink the hell out of this.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
This has become my go-to beer at work.
It's
after work. Yeah.
It's fantastic, man. Question for you here, though. Mm-hmm. You mentioned barrels. Do you guys have a barrel program?
Ooh.
We have the tiniest barrel program, and we don't do much with it, really.
what do you do with it for, like, anybody close or coming on vacation that may be able to sample something?
If anyone wants to try some barreled stuff, yeah, talk to me directly. There's nothing out right now, but I've got some stuff squirreled away.
All right.
Delightfully.
I can't remember. Have you ever done your Russian Imperial Stout in a barrel?
No, but that's coming soon, hopefully.
Ooh, bourbon barrel.
Sorry, I'm going totally blank right now. What's that one called again?
111.
That's 111.
111 stuff. Yeah. Right. That's Lord of the Rings reference, but it also is the original gravity is 1.11.
Perfect.
Oh. It's burly. It's
that's
big.
A good gravity, too.
Yeah. It is. I like that. 111.
That sounds like it's right up Mike's alley.
Oh, it is. Yeah, definitely.
He's had
Bilbo.
It.
Bilbo Baggins approved.
I'm pretty sure you brought that to at least a couple festive ales, and that's where I got to try it originally.
I did. Yes, I did. Because at festive ale, there's like, any beer festivals, there's the IPA seekers.
Yes.
There's the weird person, the weird seekers. There's the people, particularly at festive ale, who are looking for easy drinking normal beers that are like maybe a little bit interesting, and they're not as diverse in their taste. And then there's bang for your buck, crazy people who want the like the 10% nonsense. Well,
I'm not even that. I just, if you're going to have a Bardi wine or an Imperial Stout on, I'm not trying it because I want to get drunk. I want to try it because that's my favorite flavors.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
and he wants to get drunk.
You'd be surprised how many people buy beer based on alcohol percentage, though.
Oh, I'm not surprised
at all. I saw it firsthand at Fomer's Folly in Pitt Meadows.
People
would continually order the high alcohol stuff over the low alcohol stuff because they were getting a better deal. You know, they're getting more alcohol for their dollar, right?
He's talking out his ass. That's only me.
It wasn't just you. There was a lot of people at Pitt Meadows doing that.
But speaking of festival, I remember being at the Cannery Brewing table and someone walked up and is like, "What's the closest beer to Budweiser you make?" And that was on the Saturday or whatever. And it's just like,
send him over to the Vex booth.
Nothing really.
I was going to say, point to the porter potty. Whoever's pissing next, there it is.
No, what you can do, though, is that those, you just give them whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
Right? As long as they give you a token.
Drink it. They'll drink it.
Liquor.
Well, no, but they usually, by the time they get too deep enough for that, that comment, they're drunk
doesn't
enough.
Doesn't even matter. That 4 ounces is a shot.
Well, it's never the Friday, because the Friday is usually more beer nerds and everything. Yeah. The Saturday's the party at the festival.
Yes,
most years.
So that goes usually for most festivals.
Find those people. Yeah,
the first night's usually all the nerds who are there, and they just
the nerds have come up there early Friday. The other people that are living there come out Saturday to get drunk.
Right.
Other people are making it a vacation.
A bit of both.
Vacationing at hand.
Yep. Oh, man. I will tell you, though, Festival Friday at the end of the night is a different scene.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah. When you get there, everyone's chill. Everybody's reasonable, and the beer fans are out at the beginning of the night.
Yeah.
That last hour is very different. People are pretty drunk, and it switches to, like, serious party time.
Yeah,
and then anyone in the industry knows that there is an after party that is off the hook and a lot of fun.
Yeah, don't tell them where. They're not in the industry yet.
Yeah.
No, don't tell anybody where. It's fantastic, though, and it's a really good thing. I don't know if it's happening this year. This year, festival is only one day.
Yeah,
one
it's day, really yeah. different this year. Outdoors, and I don't think there's any. Yeah, I don't think there's any judging this year.
No, there's
like
no
that.
Judging.
It's quite reduced.
They've missed 2 years, I guess. The budget's reduced because of that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just first amazing it's going.
Just one day to see what public interest is for oncoming years now that everything, especially once
it's gonna be
the
nuts.
Passports are done and stuff, you'll see a lot more people coming out.
Yeah.
I also think they made this plan very COVID safe, right? Yeah. So when they made the plan for it, they didn't know that the vaccine passports would be lifted by then.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they're also planning for if they come back and if more restrictions come out, right? Having outside
could
means
happen.
That it might stay. If if restrictions increased, they might still be able to have it, which is
a
smart plan.
And then doing a one day that you have less on the line if something happens and you have to shut down or something too. I mean, I get it. They're in a weird position and they're trying to do the best they can.
Well, it's smart. You know, if you have a smart lower budget, you don't have to pay a second day of security, gates, this all adds up. I do venue management and all those all day things add up to be a motherfucker. So
you bet.
If it goes well in one day, you know, next year they'll go back to the original way. Fingers crossed. I mean,
I think they'll do okay this year. I have a funny feeling it'll be close to sold out, if not sold out. And I know that it's going to be nuts because everybody in attendance there is going to be just letting loose after, you know, 2.5 years or 2 years or whatever of being, you know, cooped up. Right.
Yeah. That's totally what's going to happen.
I mean, shit, I'd left the province for the first time in like 2.5 years.
Dude,
like,
I got to be honest. Like,
holy crap.
I got to be honest. I was super surprised you went to Hawaii last week. In my mind, Mike's not the guy who's sitting on a plane for 6 hours.
Yeah, it was a little weird. Yeah.
I bet.
I mean, basically, I was masked for like 10 hours straight. And it was just like, oh, brutal. This sucks.
Oh, brutal.
That's but a sweaty beard. You.
I wouldn't want to be in that tight contained space on an airplane for that long with hundreds of people.
But hey, Waikiki.
No, but I mean, you know, if you're doing that, then N95, right? So
yeah, cloth mask, whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They make you wear those ones, don't they? Now that's what they ask you to.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Whatever.
Free for all. COVID's over.
Nah, it's not. But
it is.
No one cares anymore.
No, well, that's part of the problem. I think
that's what it was, just burnt out, right?
Yeah.
But
we're out of energy.
Yeah. Fuck, we are all burnt out for sure. I mean, I'm glad we've went the way we did because it's important to protect people, but we're all burnt out.
We're all burnt out. It's gone well though. Like if you look at death tolls around the world and everything, you know.
Yeah, Canada's done better than a lot of places.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
And as much as people want to complain about how the politicians handled it here, I mean, yeah, it could have been handled better, but
it could have been handled like the States.
Yeah. Oh, could have been a lot worse, right? And so you're never going to find the perfect anything, I think, is really what we all have to learn from this
whole experience. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Well, going back to beer festivals.
Yeah,
which is way more fun beer festival and no COVID times. We have a group called the Kootenai Beverage Society, which is all the breweries and other beverage producers in the West Kootenays here, and we're working on, although it's not, there's not confirmed dates yet, putting on the end of summer a beer festival here in Nelson.
Really? Nelson.
Yeah.
What would the venue be?
We're working on that.
Okay.
It'd be outside in Nelson.
There's a big park down by the Walmart, isn't there?
There is, yes. Ooh. So there's a ton of good venues space.
Wait outdoor a
space.
Sec.
I think that park where you can take that little train, that'd be great.
that's a block from the brewery. I park right next to the tracks.
What about that other park when you first roll into town where the waterfall?
Oh, do it with the train.
Beat their drums.
Make it a beer train.
That's the other end of where that full train goes.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
that's a good park. Lakeside too. Park. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I can see it from here. Actually, it's right over there.
Nice.
Either that or Ainsworth.
No.
Ainsworth. That'd be great. Actually, Ainsworth. Actually, have a nice in the pool beer park.
Right.
Beer festival. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they even still do it, but I remember, I can't figure things out anymore. But I remember years ago, I went to the East Kootenai Beer Festival at the Fairmont Hot Springs Resort. And I had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was up at the ski resort they have.
Yeah.
But then as soon as it ended, we all went down to the hot tubs and sat in the hot springs. And we might have had beer, even though it wasn't allowed. they drained the hot springs to get everyone out of them.
Oh, that's when you got to climb down underneath. And go to the secret ones.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's the best. It's literally the runoff from the pools, probably.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Ainsworth has that. There's a big waterfall that comes out from the hot springs. It's all the hot springs water,
Oh no way! That's so cool.
Oh, they all have it. Panorama, Fairmont, That's the, yeah. I went up to Fairmont years ago and we used to do that. It was like the locals knew it. They're like, haha, these idiots are paying $5 to get in. We go sit in their dirty water. So there's only a few band-aids.
Well, do you guys have any stuff coming out in the future here you want to talk about? Promote any new beers, any new events you got going on?
I think I talked about most of it already. I mean, we have the online store launching coming up soon. Hopefully when this is out, we'll have it up with the Putin Huilo Ukrainian fundraiser beer. It's going to be on there. And then, you know, grab some of that if you see it and grab a bunch of other stuff. We'll have merch on there as well.
Nice.
Hopefully we'll have the beer festival, Kootenai Beverage Society Beer Festival in Nelson at the beginning of September.
I would love to come up for that possibly.
Yeah. Come up, Mike. Please come up. We can do an episode up there and check the whole thing out.
Yeah, maybe we could all come up there. That'd be pretty cool. Nice road trip. It's not that long.
Not that long. Talk to me. I'll see if I can swing you some accommodations.
What's the drive again? Is it 10 hours?
It's 8.
8? Yeah, so it's not that bad at all.
Net 8. No, it's fine.
Wow, we can speed and get there in 6.
6.5, I guess you can do.
6.5, he says. I love it.
That anarchist hill really slows you down for a bit.
It does. Actually, Halt Princeton traffic's the biggest bugger on the whole thing.
I was going to say, our problem would be stopping on the way up at other fucking breweries.
Yeah. Right? That's true. Well, then you can swing up to the Okanagan and take a whole different route.
Oh, dude,
that's the way back.
Our 3-day trip would turn into 7 if we did that.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
I'm in. I got time.
Is this the time, Jordan? Is this the time?
Yeah, I was just going to say. So, Craig, the horn. At the end of the episodes, I don't know if you ever listened to one, but we do pick your favorite child, as we like to call it. So, out of all the 5 beers we had tonight, which would be your favorite and why?
Okay, that's tough.
Sorry, the why doesn't have to happen, but pick your favorite.
No. Why has to happen? I'm the interviewer, and I'm asking the questions here.
Oh, fuck you, Jordan.
I used to have a canned answer.
Stop being a dick over there, Mike.
No.
That's not happening.
Stop being a Putin. Too soon?
Never.
Anyways, back to the question, Craig, man. What is your favorite beer that we drank tonight?
Out of the 5.
Out of the 5? So my old canned answer used to be whatever was newest was my favorite beer that we made because I loved switching it up all the time.
Good answer.
But my standard favorite beer that we make has for a long time been Awesome Flavor. But right now, and this is important because really your favorite beer is the favorite beer in the moment. Because the beer you want is the beer you want to drink right now. And what I'm going to grab, it's actually, I have it on tap here at the house, is the 1880. I'm loving the 1880. Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
It's pretty damn good. It's the season for it. We have it on Nitro at the brewery, and on Nitro, it's fantastic.
It'd be even creamier and smoother.
Exactly. So that's my favorite beer of the moment. Damn. But out of all the children, Awesome Flavor is the favorite child.
There you go. Nice.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't even tell you the Awesome Flavor label story.
Tell us about the label.
The Awesome Flavor name and label story was Will Taylor, our graphic designer, who I mentioned a couple times. He emailed me one day a label idea. He's like, hey, got a label idea. I just sent it to you. Bang. Here it is. And he just worked up a quick label concept. I'm like, fantastic. I love it. Let's do it. We're going to make it. And it just a lightning bolt hit my head. I know what beer we're going to make. I got it all figured out immediately as soon as I saw the label. That was this beer. It was like, fantastic. What are we going to call it? I'm like, no, that's it. Because he'd written Awesome Flavor as the placeholder text. when graphic designers design something, they'll put in just random words, right?
Sometimes it's even gibberish, right?
It's often gibberish, and it's often the same gibberish. It's like a standard little paragraph they do. This one, it was just he'd just written Awesome Flavor. Then I'm like, well, that's it. That's the name of the beer. It's like, no, but we need a real name. I'm like, no,
we're done.
That's the name of the beer. I have the beer figured out. I know exactly what we're making. This is it, and this is it.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's like when it happens easily, right?
Wow. When easy planning becomes all the planning,
right?
It does happen like that sometimes. Another time, it's
that's a beautiful thing because beer names are hard to come by, too. You know what I mean? God, so just the fact that you saw it, and yeah, I really like that, man.
Well, and that you, the hard part about the beer name search is like, there's the coming up with the beer name is tough, but then the Google search afterwards is always the nerve-wracking part.
Yeah,
which not everybody does. Weirdly, I've seen some breweries come out with beer names that are similar to other ones, which surprises me.
That's why they get ceased and desist.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. If you only plan on ever making it once, it's not as big a deal. If you ever plan on making it again, it's more of a problem.
Well, that was like Red your Racer, friends Racer down 5. The street had a white IPA they called No Fun, and it was a White Claw label.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
damn.
Yeah, that got ceased and desist. Right,
you would think a quick Google search would.
Oh, that was like, on purpose. No,
they did it in tongue in cheek, but like White Claw was like, no, so don't you're not calling that, it this with our basic. It was a white IPA.
It was forget, all press, good press.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah,
in a sense.
It was definitely in that field of marketing, and there's something to be said for that.
As long as they cease and desist before anything happened, there was probably no fines or anything. So,
no, it was a one-off, and they were good fine. Marketing. But...
Yeah, it was a small, super small, like, tasting room kind of special.
Yeah, it was local.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly.
All right, so let's jump back into this Warren.
Yes.
Favorite beer of the night, my man.
God, well, that's going to be a toughie.
Yeah, I know.
oh, my God. They all were good in their own way. I don't know. I was going to say the Hazy Train because it just had such great flavors. But you know what? At the end of the day, this 1880 is ridiculous. So good.
Perfect.
Yeah, I got to go with the 1880 Stout Porter, man. Now that's flipping amazing.
Right on. Mike, man, now that you're back from Maui and drinking BC beers again, you got to.
I wasn't in Maui, I was in Oahu, damn it.
It was on the shitty island.
Whatever, he's wearing a Maui brewing hat. Shut up.
I think they have a tap room on Oahu.
They have two, actually.
Yeah.
All right, back to Canadian beer. What's your favorite, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, like, fuck Putin, and Putin is a dick, but I think I'm going to go with the Hazy Train. It's just
nice.
So much fruit. It's so well balanced. It's slightly sweeter than it is bitter. It's everything I'm looking for in a hazy, and it's harder to find these days.
Yeah.
I really like that, but that 1880 is a close second, in my opinion.
Yeah. You're right. The Hazy Train is a really nice hazy IPA.
Yeah.
It nails everything, checkbox in every category. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think when Cam finally gets his chance to try it, he's gonna just love that beer because he's also on the Hazy Train.
I got a funny feeling he might be with you on the 1880 as second.
Though, there might not be any left for him if he doesn't hurry up and get his ass over here.
Cam, you've been warned.
Yeah, Cam, you've been warned. So when you listen to this editing, hopefully you have your beer.
Yeah, and then Jordan, what is your favorite beer of the night?
Honestly, they were all good, as we all know. But the golden ale we tried, golden stout, pardon me, was really nice. I really did enjoy the coffee flavor coming off with the cacao nibs that blended well with it. But that 1880 Porter Stout was really good too. I want to call that my first. Wow, but honestly,
he's going with
the hazy. I'm going back to, I think that's the Hazy Train for me too.
Of course.
It's really tasty. It's great. The citrus and the tropical stone fruit and shit that I like.
Yeah.
The awesome flavor too is fucking rad. I've had that before. But I just preferred the little fruit profile better on the Hazy Train.
For sure.
For my pal. But this 1880 is no fucking joke either. So
agreed.
I'm calling it a tie. I'm calling it a tie. It's the Hazy Train and the 1880 for me, man.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with either. They're both bangers. They're both
You guys can fight me in the parking lot. I'll have one can in each hand. We'll just smash them together like it's a fight.
All right.
Before we go, Jordan, you asked why I had a cookie Valley dong.
What the hell?
Yeah, no, that's a
you go to
pancake penis you're holding.
No,
in
it's
hand.
A cookie.
No, hold on. Hold that back up so I can show everybody your pancake penis.
We had these because there's a local bakery that makes some awesome rude cookies.
And I thought that's very detailed.
Putin is a dick. I'm like, wait a minute. So, we got to have this.
Were you at Punk Rock Pastries?
I was definitely at Punk Rock Pastries in North
Burnaby. They were recently in the news as well.
Oh, yeah. Those are really, local friends.
Yeah, they're a really cool local bakery.
They are.
And recently, a parent complained because they have a bunch of like adult-themed cookies. And it backfired on these like shitty parents. Because,
have you seen the ones that are busting nuts?
Yeah.
They've got zombie cakes with hands coming out of them. They've got cookies that look like brains. They have little treats that look like nuggets of weed. I mean, this isn't the store you take your kids into.
No, but they had to put a sign on the door talking about the fact that it's got adult-themed goods there. But it went all over the news, and this just exploded, and now they sell out every day practically.
Yeah,
They have dick cookies and vagina cookies and breast cookies.
All
and
the shit you need.
The full-size vagina cakes. Like, this is like the most ridiculous bakery.
It's fantastic.
The cookies are amazing. I got my wife a chocolate chip cookie mini egg pie slice. Ooh. And it's just like,
but what did it look chocolate. Like? Somebody's butthole?
No, it looked like pure sugar.
No, that one just looked looked like a cookie with mini eggs and chocolate and some other stuff inside. Like, the place is fantastic. It's weird.
It's awesome.
It's living the punk lifestyle. It's got like really cool staff there, really helpful. Yeah. I wanted to bring out my dick cookie. For Putin is a dick night.
Putin is a dick. This place sounds fucking rad.
It is rad. Yeah. I've been there a couple times, and when you're down here delivering beer, you need to pop in. It's in Burnaby on Hastings.
North Burnaby, Street.
In the Capitol Hill area there. Definitely worth the visit. Super nice people, amazing products.
The owner is an amazing lady, too. She is. Her name's leaving my mind right now, but Punk Rock Pastries, check them out, too. Also, check out Torchlight Brewing.
For sure.
Get these beers and try. We're going to be sending them down here, right? You promised us, Craig.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
Attaboy.
Well, make sure you send the Hazy Train and the 1880 for sure.
Yeah.
You bet.
So, social media website handles and address, Craig. What do you got for us?
Nothing. You're going to have to fill us in, Jordan.
No, torchlightbrewing.com is the website, and at Torchlight Brewing, I think, is Instagram. And
You're right on that. I can give you that one. And what's the address?
125 Hall Street in Nelson.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I appreciate you joining us tonight, man. The beers you sent were fantastic.
Amazing.
It was a really good conversation as well. And I look forward to meeting you in person one day and actually fucking having a beer.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And say hi to Josh for me, because it's always fun talking with him. I haven't talked to him in a while these days.
I'll tell him tomorrow. We're going to be in Victoria tomorrow afternoon drinking.
Victoria Beer Week, right?
For Beer Week.
That's right.
Nice. So, well, enjoy your time there.
Thank you. We will.
I'll wave randomly and see if you're driving by at the time.
Did you reserve a ferry?
We did, yeah.
Excellent.
We're on the 3 o'clock ferry, which means we have to leave here at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh,
don't get Lord started on ferries, please.
8 hours. What's that? 8 hours?
It's 8 hours. It's just over 8 hours to the ferry landing, and then the ferry ride. Yeah, it's a long trip from here to Victoria. Yeah, and we have to have beer in the pub on tap for 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Oof.
Wow. To pucker up.
Well, good luck, and God bless you, sir. We love you, beer pirate.
Thank you. There'll be a lot of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, no shit.
Thanks for joining us, Craig.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good
talking to you, man.
Thank you, Craig.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat.
That was a good one, boys.
We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at PacificBeerChat.com.
Thanks, man.
If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes, as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@PacificBeerChat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.